Morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning, isn't it? And great to hear those testimonies. It's hard to hear what God's been doing in their lives without something going on inside of here. And great to hear that amount, £110,000. I know God is good, but you know, well done to those of you who gave. Does somebody want to turn me down a bit? There we go. There we go. So it's great to be here. We're in this series on the I Am, and it comes from a passage in Exodus 3. And Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God replied to Moses and said, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." This is the four-letter word in the Bible which gets translated in capitals. In the Hebrew, it's Yahweh, and actually the word is tetragrammaton. I mean, there's a word to stir the soul. I am the tetragrammaton. And actually, if you asked me who I was, and I just say, "Well, my name's Richard," I think you'd be a bit underwhelmed by that. You'd expect more information. You'd think I was probably a bit socially awkward. I might say, "Well, my name's Richard Taylor." And you say, "Well, tell me more. You say, "Well, I'm married to Esther. I'm a teacher." You'd expect conversationally a few bits more information. God, when he's talking to Moses, feels no need to explain who he was. He just says, "I am who I am. I can't be contained in your little anecdotes and your little thoughts and your little additions. I am self-existent and self-sufficient. The eternally existent one who was, who is, and is to come." That's quite a confident reply. Who are you? "I am who I am," the tetragrammaton. However, I'm really grateful that God didn't just stop there. And in sending Jesus, it says in Colossians, the Son is the image of the invisible God. And in this series on the I Am, we've been looking at, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the way, truth, and the life. And today, I am the true vine. I'm grateful that God didn't just stop and say, "I am." He sent Jesus to say, "Well, this is what I am like." And then Jesus, through a series of teachings, gave us a few metaphors to hang on to. The vine was a really familiar object in the Jewish people. It's throughout the Old Testament, he referred to the Jewish people as a vine, and it normally was really negative. In fact, it was usually negative. The prophets usually likened God's people to a vine from which God came to look for good grapes, but only found bad grapes. So it was a familiar object for them, the vine. In fact, in the temple, one of the gates of the temple was surrounded by this gold vine. Very impressive, all laden with grapes and with some of the leaves and the vine's branches. It's completely plausible that Jesus had this in mind when he said, "I am the true vine." It's plausible that he might even be teaching in front of it. And I think he was saying this. He was saying, these buildings, this gold, in fact, anything made by man, architecture, anything that we think is impressive in man, this is not what I am talking about. He's saying, "I am the true vine. And only in relationship with me can you bear eternal fruit." You see, my friends, this morning, there's lots of things you can attach yourself to if you want to be fruitful or successful. Money, jobs, sex, relationships, helping others, qualifications, being busy, religion. We try and attach ourselves to things to give ourselves weight and significance and bear fruit in this world. And Jesus said, just stop there for a minute. "I am the only true vine through whom you can bear fruit." In verse 16, he talks about fruit that will last. He's speaking about eternal fruit. You say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You say, "Well, do you believe that as a church?" Yes, we do. We believe that Jesus came to forgive not only our sins for today, but to begin an eternal process. That great I Am invites us into his vine, which is an eternal one. We can have limited success fruit in life. God's kind. He allows us to live, breathe, and move, and have our being. He allows people to have some limited success, but not eternal success. Not eternal fruit. He's saying, if you want eternity and eternal fruit, I am the only true vine. In fact, he's a bit more blunt than that. Later on, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you don't get connected with me,
You're like a branch that is chopped off and thrown away and put into the fire. It's very difficult to dress this up. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the end of time. He's talking about branches being thrown into an eternal fire. It's very difficult to dress that up. Now, he talks about in verse 2 and 3 about pruning. Now, those of you into gardening know a bit about this. You prune your roses so they get more roses later on in the season. Now, there's a bit of interesting Greek grammar. Now, I realize that those three words don't often go together, interesting, Greek and grammar. But just bear with me while I explain what I mean. Because in verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean. This is past tense. This is kathairo. You are kathairo. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. It's done. You have accepted that I'm the Messiah. He's talking to the disciples, of course. You've accepted that I'm Messiah. You don't really fully understand what's about to happen to me. But you have accepted that I am the true vine. You are kathairo. It is done. It says in Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved. This is done. The work of salvation is complete this morning. Those guys that declared themselves, I want to be part of the true vine. And it's finished. There's a completeness to that. You are kathairo. But if it's already been saved in Ephesians 2, why does it say in Philippians 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? If it's already done, why is there something to continue to work out in our salvation? But it's the same here. Jesus says, you are kathairo. You are saved because you've accepted that I'm the Messiah and there's only one true vine. But in verse 2, he says, every branch bears fruit in me, I will prune. Kathairos. Ongoing present work. He's saying, yes, you can accept that there's an eternal salvation, an eternal transaction that's happened here this morning where you say, I've been saved, it's done. But there is also this ongoing process of being pruned. It's what we call in the kingdom of God the now and the not yet. We've received something of the kingdom, but there's still some work to be done. The gospel of Jesus is about a moment, but it's also about a journey. Walking with Jesus is an encounter, but it's also an ongoing relationship. Eternal fruitfulness begins by acknowledging Jesus as the only true vine, but is also an ongoing relationship of trust and pruning. So let's get practical here. What does Jesus mean by pruning? And what does he mean by fruit? And how can we remain in him? Pruning can happen for various reasons. If there's sin in our lives, God might come along and prune that. I'm pretty sure I got caught speeding the other day on the Northampton Road towards the leisure centre, and I'm pretty sure I was doing 37 in a 30. Sorry about that. But there will be some pruning. I will get something in the post. The police will say, pay a fine or go on a course, and there's some pruning. The world knows how to prune. It says, don't do that. And if you do it again, there'll be another fine, bigger. So we know what it means to be clean in the world. We have these mechanisms. And when I was younger, I used to think pruning was just a one-off. Yeah, a one-off before a season of real growth. Maybe once every 5 years you go through a difficult time and it makes you think and you grow again. Now I'm a bit older and I know a bit about wine, so I've done a few wine qualifications now. I'm afraid to tell you that pruning happens all year round. Pruning happens when the vine it bears its fruit in the autumn, and after the autumn the winemaker and the vine dresser comes along and cuts the prune, the vine right back. So the next slide, please. And they cut it right back to this sort of picture on the left-hand side that will appear. It gets absolutely, next slide, please. It's like this one here on the left there. And it gets pruned right back. In fact, the growth of the vine in the spring is set by the pruning in the winter and the autumn. It gets cut right back. And if you look at a vine like that, it looks pretty dead and gnarled. But when it's spring comes, it's a bit warmer like it is now, and the vines start to grow, the winemaker will go along and say, I thought I'd sorted out all those shoots, but let's prune again. This is in the spring. And then the leaves start growing and the vine gets a bit happier, the warmth, and the winemaker goes, I'll just cut some leaves off. I'll thin out the canopy to make sure there's enough air and the sunshine's getting in to ripen its fruit. Even right up to the point of harvest, a winemaker will go, if he's interested in quality, he'll go up to maybe three bunches on a vine and say, I'm going to take this one off. Right up to harvest, because he says, I want that vine to concentrate on those two. I want quality, not quantity. So folks, the thing I want to say to these guys when they come back from drying off, or to all of us, is that expect pruning. It's not just a one-off, just get used to it. The vine maker loves you, and we have to trust he knows what he's doing. You see, we're not vines, but we're people. And as someone once said, God comes to us disguised as our lives. Difficult boss, tricky marriage, annoying teenage children, lack of a job, a lack of a partner, a lack of interesting things to do, sustained illness. God comes in those life circumstances. He goes, need to prune him. Need to cut that back a bit. I need to get his roots down. Sustained and deep pruning can be really difficult. My 40s, I'm 50 now. I know I look younger. Oh, thank you, thank you. That's better than I thought it was going to go. Thank you. So in my 40s, largely the beginning of my 40s were a bit of a disaster. I don't know what you see when I lead the services once a month or preaching here this morning, but certainly the first 4 or 5 years, it was like one calamity after another. I didn't feel pruned, I felt battered. I felt battered, bruised, and broken. And to be honest, I didn't feel pruned, I felt dead. I felt like that vine. I said, my prayers weren't mature. They weren't, Lord, give me more pruning, I'm looking forward to fruitfulness. They weren't like that. They were like this. They were saying, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? Enough already with the pruning. I don't feel encouraged by this pruning. I feel dead like that dead vine. You know what, folks? In the kingdom of God, trust is an underrated quality. We have to trust the winemaker. We have to trust the vine dresser that he knows what he's doing and he is expert in what he's doing. And we have to get our roots down to trust him. In those deepest times of sustained difficulty, we also need people to stand around us. My advice to those of you who are standing near to those people is don't give them too much advice. Just stand with them and affirm that they are loved by God, that there's an eternal. Just stand with them. People in a sustained period of difficulty do not need advice. They need your presence. Despite the fact Jesus said, you are kathairoed, you are clean, he said, there's this ongoing process of kathairos. But he said this. He said, remain in me as I remain in you. Next slide, please. Now, we've just gone from BT to EE in our telecoms and broadband. And you've got this, their catchphrase is keep you connected. They have that advert again, get yourself connected. And so far be it from me to change Jesus' words from remain in me. But I think stay connected is actually a bit easier to understand. He says, although I've done 99.9% of this work, I've died on the cross, I've chosen you, your children are from a father. He said, you have a part to play in this, a 0.001%. Your part is to remain in me. Stay connected. I want to offer three really practical suggestions about how we do that. The word, technology, and prayer. I hope there's a picture here. I have in my pocket, sometimes when I go back to work tomorrow as a teacher, I'll write down a scripture in my pocket. He said, well, that's a bit lo-fi, Richard, a bit of paper, you know, technological word, you're a bit behind the times. The thing is, if I get my phone out, I've got BBC News, BBC Sport, BBC Weather, Instagram, Facebook. My phone is not a great place for me to reflect. It just, I spend half an hour and time has gone. So I put the Bible, I might put a verse in my pocket, and I put it there. So when I'm teaching, I just have a reminder. I'm trying to stay connected with the vine. I do have technology. I have an app called Lectio 365. So when I go to bed, it actually reads to me and it takes you through a process of Lectio 365, which is about reflecting on your day. And as I try and go to sleep, I try and reflect on the day with God. Why? Because I'm trying to stay connected. Thirdly, I try and pray in the middle of the day. It's not always true. I go out the back of the maths block in my school. And I can only tell you it's not a very glamorous place. Around here, there is a table which is broken. Around the corner, there's some glass from a greenhouse, and the panes are shattered. And it's a really not a glamorous place to be. I try, it's usually about three times a week, but in a lunchtime, I try and take 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes in the middle of a day, and I just talk to the Lord about what's happening in my classroom. And perhaps, Lord, I didn't really deal with that situation perfectly with that student. Give me another chance to be wiser for that person. I've got this problem with a colleague. I need to just wisdom for this situation. I might get that scripture out of my pocket and remind myself of who I am in God or what he said to me. Why? Because I'm trying to stay connected with the vine. We have a part to play. Those are all personal, individual, stay-connected thoughts. But what about together as a church? What about regular attendance at church? I don't mean one in five or two in seven. I mean, unless you are exceptionally ill or you've, a family situation or 50th birthday, brilliant, that's fine. Go and enjoy that. But apart from that, come to church, because staying connected isn't just me in the vine, it's us together in the vine. What about community groups? I don't mean, can you tell me which group are you in? I mean, Joe and Bob's, community group. I don't mean you can tell me. I mean, are you actively engaged with that? Do you, again, except for illness or exceptional pressure in life or work, do you actually commit to going to your community group? Because you know that, although you are an individual branch of this vine, you're also better off with all the other branches. We're stronger together. We're going to run further. We're going to run straighter. We're going to run more powerfully together. I'm not a single branch. We're all part of the vine together. And finally, whose life and lives are you speaking and investing into? And who is speaking and investing into your life? If you're not around much, it's very difficult to do that. So we have a part to play individually and corporately to stay connected. So what about the fruit? What fruit are we talking about here? We need about 10 weeks to unpack all this stuff, but let me try in a few seconds. Galatians 5:22. I learned these when I was 14. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. I learned them when I was 14. If you want to ask my wife what I'm like at 50, I think she would probably agree they're still a work in progress. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. There should be in some way an increasing measure of that sort of character maturity as we get in the vine. But I want to go a little bit wider when I'm thinking about fruit, and I want to say, well, what is the vine? Jesus, who was talking to the disciples at that time, what was his fruit? What was the fruit coming out of his life as the vine? And I don't think it was just maturity and character, and he wasn't just a nice guy. In a world where we have an identity crisis in the world, Jesus showed that he could have total security and unshakable identity. He was tremendously secure. He knew the Father loved him, he stayed with the vine, and he had unshakable identity and confidence in who he was. He had constant wisdom in every situation. Really tricky stuff that he couldn't have foreseen, he just knew what to do. That would be an amazing thing in our world, wouldn't it? In our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our marriages, in our parenting, in any situation you find yourself, that you're connected to the vine, nobody else has a solution, but Jesus will have a solution. If we stay connected to the vine, there should be an overflow of wisdom in every situation. Of course, there is sacrificial love. Of course, there is love, the first fruit of the Spirit. Of course, Jesus showed sacrificial love, incredible love, to die on the cross. But being a Christian isn't just about being a good guy. Being a Christian and being part of the vine isn't just to get our roots in him or stay connected as a branch to the vine. Jesus showed miracle power. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. The eyes of the blind were opened. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. And you say, oh, hang on, Richard. Hang on a minute. I've been with you up till now, but hang on a minute. That's a bit. Hang on. Are you sure about this? Not comfortable with that. Firstly, if you're part of the vine, if the vine is bearing that fruit, why wouldn't the branches bear that fruit? That just seems to be logical to me. But Jesus himself said in John 14, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Jesus said that. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He was talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out when he'd left. In John 15, he talks about the advocate, the paraclete. Not a spiritual budgerigar. I said paraclete, not parakeet. He said, I'm going to send you the counselor. That word paraclete, I planted it. That's my own fault. The paraclete. Apparently that word is still in the Greek language now, and it means a boat that comes alongside another boat to give assistance or rescue. He's saying, I'm going, but you can expect somebody else, the Holy Spirit, to be the one that comes alongside you to help you and give you assistance. In John 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again, he said, the wind blows where it wishes. Ruach, the wind of God. Guys, we don't need as a church just to be good people, rooted in God, mature and nice people, love, joy, peace, patience. We do need that. We should expect that, but we should have unshakable identity. We should have constant wisdom, sacrificial love, and I put it to us that we should also see some miracle power. If the vine is like that, why wouldn't the branches be like that? And it's just as I finish, I felt today that there were many people who were feeling pruned. You can resonate with my 40s, that you're like that stump, and you think, oh, what is God doing? I just feel like that, and I want to encourage you that weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And you might want to come forward for prayer, and we'll stand with you. Not give you advice, but we'll stand with you. Some of you are in a time of pruning, and you feel worried that it means you're being punished or lacking fruitfulness. It's your fault. Time to relax into the vine and trust that the winemaker knows what he's doing. Thirdly, some of you are in a time of fruitfulness, but the Lord says to you, your current fruitfulness is nothing compared to the fruitfulness I will give you if you truly yield, truly trust, and let me blow my spirit on you and through you. And to those who've never come to Jesus and yielded your right to be a standalone vine, which God allows in temporary measure, you can stand alone as a temporary vine in this way, you can. But I implore you, I urge you, get yourself connected to this true vine for two reasons. One, that's the only way to know fruitfulness that will last. And secondly, there's a real danger of being thrown into the fire. Specifically, when I was praying and preparing for this series, I felt there's somebody with a really damaged and dodgy knee and your mobility is significantly compromised, and we'd love to pray with you. I think God wants to bless you this morning. I don't even know what the hip flex is, but I feel there's somebody with a problem with their hip flex and it's hindering your mobility, and again, I think what God wants to meet with you. And thirdly, I was praying yesterday, and I just feel there's somebody here who's looking at end-of-life care for a loved one. Impossible situation. And if, I want to pray with you and see what God wants to do with you. Folks, there's lots of things we can be attached to in our lives. But there's only one true vine. There's only one place to have eternal fruit. We have a part to play. We have to remain in him. We have to stay connected. Expect pruning. Get used to it. Don't take it as an insult. He's just lovingly chopping for greater fruitfulness. We need not only the fruit of the Spirit, but we need the power of God to minister to this dying generation. And who knows what God will do in Market Harborough, Leicestershire, Northamptonshire, Lincolnshire, Warwickshire, as God does something in his church. As we stay connected with the vine, we stay connected with each other, maybe we'll see the kingdom of God come in this area.